Welcome to the Legal Mind podcast. I'm Gemma Matthews. Today, for Mental Health Awareness Week, I'm joined by Carl Harter, a counsellor who specialises in outdoor therapy. And as the theme of this week's Mental Health Awareness Week is nature, it's very appropriate that we're talking today. Hi, Carl. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Gemma. Thank you for having me.
Could you start by telling us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I grew up in a small town in the northwest. I spent a lot of my free time outdoors, many adventures in woodlands and parks and streams. And I guess that's where my interest in outdoors started. That connection's always kind of remained with me, the colours, smells and sounds. Later on, when I joined the RAF, I found myself outdoors again. So a very different reason this time. But I'd find myself exploring the outdoors in a very different way, trekking through forests and moorlands at night time, that kind of thing. And it gave me another insight into being outdoors. It really did offer up a completely new world for me, I guess. And that fueled that fire even more for me. After leaving the forces, I worked in IT support for quite a number of years, initially in the medical sector, then the legal sector, and ultimately setting up my own IT company. I had an aptitude for IT, but I didn't really enjoy it. There was no passion there for it. Mm-hmm. But the real job satisfaction for me, I think it came from helping other people. And in short, that's how I became a counsellor.
And you do various types of counselling, don't you? But one of the things you do is offer therapy outdoors.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about what the benefits are, you think, of speaking to a therapist in an outdoor setting?
Well, being outdoors, it can affect our mood in so many ways. So one of the benefits is that quite often I get clients come to me and they say, specifically, can we work outdoors? They don't want that confinement of being in a room. And the idea of staring at a therapist for an hour or 50 minutes can be quite intimidating for someone who's never had therapy before, especially somebody who it's been a real struggle to get to that room and get to that point where they can accept the fact that they really probably should start looking at therapy as a solution for them or something to help them through what they're going through. So one of the benefits of being outdoors, it takes away this stigma that they are now in a counselling room environment. They can engage with the therapist, walk and talk effectively. They walk alongside the therapist or they can choose to sit down. The weather's nice. It allows them to be free and engage with the surroundings a little bit more. So I think it takes the pressure off.
You talked about how being outside can affect your mood. How does being in nature benefit your mental health?
For a start off, it's very freeing, I find. It can vary depending on where we go and the time of day or the weather or the season, for example. Sometimes a place, it can remind us of something and it can take us back to something that we'd forgotten. And that does remind me of a particular session where we were walking round a park and the client took me to a spot and the path was blocked. And I suggested we take a different route. And as we took that route, the client recognized that they'd been there before many, many years ago as a child. It was very unusual. This hasn't happened before in a session with me. And it took them right back to that moment where they'd been before. Now, we would never have had that in a therapy room. And another thing that I often hear from clients is a phrase that I often find that I'm inside my own head. And my interpretation of being inside our own head is a sense of being trapped or imprisoned. So when we go outdoors, the physical barriers are removed, like I mentioned earlier. It sort of allows us to be more free, allows our mood to lift, especially the weather. The wind, for some reason, on a warm day, if it's windy, it can be blowing away leaves and with that thoughts. There's a lot of metaphor going on outdoors, I find, that we can engage with, and we don't get that in a room. I'm not suggesting it's better or anything like that, but there is a different element to outdoor therapy that it can be very difficult to tap into within a room environment.
And what about more generally, do you think as humans we've kind of lost our connection with nature a bit in the modern world that we live in? Do you think people aren't really outside enough and that could be affecting our mental health?
Yeah, I guess in the modern world, it's all too easy to stay indoors. We have comfort, familiar surroundings. We can try to establish ourselves in a home environment with entertainment, surround ourselves with whatever we can to make life more comfortable and easier for ourselves, I guess. And as human beings, again, the Western world, we no longer have to go out to hunt for food or forage for food. It gets delivered to our doors, or we can go to the shops. We've taken away that need to be outdoors, a need to be in the countryside for survival, for example. With that in mind, it's so easy to forget that being outdoors in the countryside can offer us so much. If we don't have a dog or we don't have young children, then we may think that we don't need to go out outside. But if we stop for a moment and take the time to actually get out there with a different mindset, we might be surprised. Interestingly enough, though, at the start of the pandemic, we've all been encouraged to take exercise and keep a distance from people, of course. But often this has resulted in more walks in the park or the countryside. The pandemic has given us an excuse, if you like, to use outdoor spaces in a way that we might not have been doing before. As an example, actually, the other day, we recently moved into a new house, my partner and I, and I realized that I needed a new lawnmower. So my partner went online and found a robot lawnmower, ridiculously expensive. We're never going to buy this thing. And I thought, that's really smart. And then I stopped and thought, well, actually, I enjoy mowing the lawn. Why would I get this thing so that I can just sit on a chair and watch it, you know, go up and down the garden? It would take away that pleasure of being out in the garden for me, that smell of freshly cut grass, and the satisfaction of actually finishing the job at the end of the day.
That's interesting. You talk about us almost needing to have a purpose to be outside, you know, to walk the dog, to mow the lawn, to be with the kids in the park. But then when you do it, you really enjoy it. You know, you need to go outside with no purpose at all. The purpose is just to be outside and be in nature. Would you say that?
Yeah, it's exactly that. And when we get out there, I mean, a good example of this is people who go hiking or hill walking. For me, when I go out, when I go hike a mountain, for example, Snowdon, I don't go out with the intention to get a workout. And I don't go out with the intention to get to the top. I go out with the intention of enjoying the journey. And it, that, because you don't actually know what you'll find on that journey. And you don't need an excuse to be there anyway. We seem to feel that we need an excuse or a reason, because otherwise it's a bit strange. It really isn't. It's actually okay to just be there and sit under a tree for an hour and experience, you know, what's going on for you in there.
That's interesting, actually, about the journey, isn't it? Maybe as humans, we're so obsessed with the destination that sometimes we forget to enjoy the journey or enjoy the just being in the moment.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a lot of that. It's a way of being for us, really, in a way, because we get up, go to work. The journey to work, we write that off as a waste of time. You know, this is just, we have to commute, therefore we go. And when we get to work, that's what we do. We start work. But with the pandemic, a lot of us have realized that have had to work from home, that we miss that commute, because that allows us to either psych up or focus or wake up or, you know, come down from the day's work and switch off and, you know, get back into home life mode or time off mode, whatever that might be.
Do you think that the pandemic has helped sort of bring us closer to nature because we've been more outside? And do you think we'll keep that? What do you think will happen? Do you think we'll all just retreat back indoors and do the commute again? Or do you hope that we're all going to spend more time outside now because of the pandemic?
That's a really good question. It's something that I've been asking myself. There's a hill not far from where we live, and I'll go up there on the weekends or an evening or something like that. And weekends it's with people, cars all down the road. And I wondered what it was like before the pandemic, because I've only ever seen it in this environment, you know. And it does make me wonder, because there's a lot of people going out there and actively enjoying, you know, that space. They could stay at home. They don't have to be out there, and in all weathers as well, they're actively getting out there and enjoying it. I hope it continues. I think it will. I think it probably will to some extent. It might change when people start working in offices or going or commuting to work again. That I think that might take up, it'll consume some of the free time. So that might be an issue, I would have thought. But it would be nice to think that it could continue.
Yeah, it'd be a shame to lose it, wouldn't it? It's sort of one of the benefits or the side effects of the pandemic is that we've all had a chance to slow down, enjoy simpler things a bit more.
Yeah, I think it's a real benefit. Certainly from my own perspective, when I would work from rooms, I wouldn't generally bother going for a walk in the evenings very much because I've had my 10K walk going to and from different rooms or working outdoors or whatever. So when I finished in the evening, I probably wouldn't go for a walk. But nowadays, after dinner, we find ourselves just going out down the road 20 minutes and back, you know, and that's kind of a new thing, even for me, who enjoys the outdoors and works outdoors.
How do you think nature can help us be more mindful? I know mindfulness is often talked about as a great way to de-stress, but I know a lot of people struggle with it, sort of sitting on their own in a room, being quiet and still is so alien to so many of us. So how do you think being in nature can help with that instead?
Yeah, you're very right on that point. It can be so easy to forget what the purpose of mindfulness is and get tied up in a sense of anxiety around not being able to engage in mindfulness, which is totally counterproductive. I've heard clients say on several occasions that they've tried mindfulness, but it didn't really work for them, or that I didn't really benefit from it much. And I find it much easier to demonstrate mindfulness when we're outdoors, because we have so much more going on around us. And so what I might do is ask a client to pause for a moment and look around. Take a moment and tell me what they can see. So they might start with, I see a line of trees in the distance and a field between them. At that point, I stop and say, what else can you see? So they'll say, okay, some of the trees are different. There's a small bush in that field, for example. I continue asking questions, getting deeper into what it is the client sees in comparison to what's actually out there. And the purpose of that is to draw the focus towards being more aware of what is actually going on around us. We expand that into sounds and smells and even touch. What they can feel, is there a breeze? What does that breeze feel like? The whole process takes about 10 minutes to experience. And then I might invite the client to walk across that field with me and experience what it's like to step into that space that they've just described. Why do we do that? Well, it helps the client climb down out of their own head, a phrase I've mentioned earlier on, and experience a place of distraction that they might previously have been unaware of. That mindfulness gets them out of themselves, allows them to focus on something without any real purpose other than to absorb its presence, if you like, and analyze that presence. Imagine spending a week in a submarine underwater. We only realize how stale the air is once we come out to the surface and pop a hatch, so to speak. And mindfulness is exactly that. It's coming to surface and opening that hatch.
For people listening that might be feeling a bit stressed and overwhelmed at the moment, as so many of us are, what are some of your tips on how they could slow down and enjoy nature, like some simple things that they could do to sort of bring them back to the moment?
I guess when we go outdoors, I feel it's important to allow ourselves to engage with that space that we find ourselves in. So it's important to stop and look around, touch the space that we are in and experience it. Try not to pass through it like a train on a railway track when it comes to being outdoors. I think we should stop between stations and climb down and experience what that's like. We should give ourselves sort of permission, if you like, to interact and engage with being outdoors. It sounds strange giving ourselves permission to engage with the outdoors, but I think we don't allow that. We rely on the dog, or we rely on the children to give us that purpose and that reason to be outdoors, but we actually don't need them to get outdoors. We can get out there and we can just be there. We can, for example, watch the clouds blow by windy day like today, for example, is perfect for that. The speed at which the sky changes is incredible. Maybe try going out. If you can get up early enough, try a sunrise. It's like incredible to see a sunrise. A sunset, get yourself in a position where you know you can get a good view and just watch that sunset and experience that. You can actually see, you know, the sun moving gradually against the horizon at a distance. And it's fascinating to try things like that.
And do you think that in doing those things, they have, you know, a calming effect on the body and the mind?
I really do think they can have a calming effect. Yeah, because if nothing else, they'll slow us down. They'll take us away from an environment that we might have found uncomfortable or stressful or anxiety provoking. You know, they'll get us out there. We might feel cold. We might feel warm. That will trigger different emotions and sensations for us. And that all acts to take us away from something. That something could be anything. You know, it could be anxiety. It could be just a discomfort or a boredom or that idea that there's nothing happening, sort of thing. And we need to find something to do. It's a distraction at the very least, I think.
Do you think children are naturally better or find it easier, I should say, to engage with nature than adults do? And most children seem to have a sort of they sort of know what to do in a wood, you know, whereas adults might sort of hang around a bit awkwardly.
Absolutely. It's being inquisitive, isn't it? I mean, certainly if I go into a forest, I could quite easily start rooting about in the undergrowth. And it's just the natural things of curiosity. And you see like interest in fungus and things growing on trees, ferns and things like that. You get the smell of wild garlic and bracken. These are incredibly powerful smells. Being near a stream, hearing the water ripple over the pebbles. And it's so intriguing. And for me, I just want to get closer and look at this and experience it and see what's in there. Because there's wildlife everywhere, of course. And I think children love that because it's all about exploration. They're always trying to learn something and explore it, find it out for themselves. And it can, I guess, for adults, it can be difficult because that can feel childlike and it can feel immature and it can feel as though maybe we shouldn't be doing this. But it's actually still okay to do it, even in your 50s.
I think part of the problem is people always have something else that they feel like they should be doing. You know, there's the never-ending to-do list or the never-ending workload. So it seems indulgent sometimes maybe to take that time out, but perhaps taking that time out would actually make you more likely to tick more off the list when you got back home because you would feel energized by being outside.
Absolutely, yeah. It does offer so many benefits in that regard, I find. Quite often, if we go to the cinema or something like that, I'll come away feeling almost tired because I've been focused so heavily for the past 2 hours on something. It overpowers the senses in an uncomfortable way in some respect because it's a lot louder than you really need it or than I need it. But being in nature is something else. You've got to look for it. It doesn't hit you from all directions. You've got to go there and you look for it. You can sit and you can absorb it. So it is definitely a way of relaxing.
It's interesting you say that about the cinema because that makes me think, I suppose the good thing about the cinema is that you don't look at your phone. It's one of the few times you're not on your phone the whole time. Also on a flight, I suppose. I mean, do you take your phone when you go into nature? Or?
I do, but I use it as a camera.
Yeah.
My phone's always on silent anyway, so it never distracts me. I go to it when I want it. But when I'm in nature, I think it's really important to take a little bit away that isn't going to impact on where we are. And the easiest way to do that is through a photograph. And it doesn't matter if you go to the same place every day or every month or every week. If you take a photograph of that same place, it will always look different on every occasion. The season will change it for you. The weather will change it for you. And I think it's great to be able to take that photograph. In fact, there are several artists that have done things like that, where they've gone to a spot and taken the photograph of the same spot. once a day for a year, for example. And it's incredible how much that changes, but it is a way of reminding ourselves of how we can benefit from being in that environment.
I suppose you could always put it on flight mode as well, maybe, couldn't you, if you if you didn't trust yourself to not take your phone out to take a picture and then find yourself reading an email in the middle of a wood, which you do see people doing. I'm sure I've been guilty of that before. But maybe that's a good way if you put it on flight mode and then you won't get any of the notifications come through.
That's right. Yeah. With again, if you're the kind of person that you do have an addiction, if you like, to the phone, for want of a better word, it might be better maybe not to take it if you can, and take a digital camera, something like that.
Just moving away from nature for a second, I'm just interested to talk a little bit more about the pandemic, really, and what observations you have of what people are finding difficult at the moment.
I work with young people as well as adults. I work through a charity Off the Record over in Twickenham. And a lot of what I hear is that idea that they're missing out on something. They're missing out on being with friends. They're missing out on engaging in that social environment within a school. And it's really kind of difficult. As far as the adult side of things go, it's similar, but in a slightly different way. Young people, from my experience, really do feel like they're missing out on a valuable part of their life that they can't get back. And I guess those teenage years and things like that, it's real for them, you know. As well as the obvious social environment that people are missing out on, not being able to hang out with friends, things like that.
Do you think there's quite a lot of anxiety around now about, because things are changing again, and sort of we feel like we should be happy about it, but there's a slight unease about the restrictions lifting and things changing or returning to normal, in inverted commas?
Yeah, again, it varies. Strangely enough, I have some clients that absolutely love working from home, and they think, and it's completely changed their life. These are long-term clients I've been working with prior to the start of the pandemic. But that idea that there's an anxiety of it's another lockdown, we'll be back as we were last June, July, whatever, and then we might be in another lockdown at the end of the year. So it's that sense of not knowing it's going to end. And so that's a real sort of... It triggers that negative automatic thinking that it's just a matter of time. How much time have we got? Can we actually get a festival in or something like that towards the end of the year, or a concert or something? So it's that uncertainty. And a lot of that, I think, comes from us thinking naturally too far ahead. So it inevitably spirals down into a negative sort of thought process. What I try and do with that is just reverse it. What's actually going on now? I bring that mindfulness back into that room, sort of thing. What's going on right now? We look at it from that perspective. It's okay to make plans and it's okay to change plans. But we work with what we've got as opposed to what we think we might have.
And if all else fails, just go out for a walk and hopefully your mind will start to change. You'll start to feel a bit lighter as you're walking.
Absolutely, yeah. And even if it rains, yeah, let it rain.
Yeah.
we get wet in the shower. It's actually okay. We do have this perception that if the weather's bad, we can't go out. That's rubbish, you know. You can go out. You can wrap up, put a waterproof jacket on. Or if it's warm, you know, experience what it's like to be in that rain. I remember as a young kid, we'd quite often be in shorts all the time. It doesn't matter what the weather's like, unless it's winter, of course, then you're forcibly wrapped up by a parent. But certainly, you know, the rain, it doesn't dissolve us. It won't kill us. Not yet, anyway. it's okay to be in it. And we experience different emotions, different feelings, different sensations when we're out in it.
It can feel quite, I don't know if cathartic's the right word, but being in extreme weather conditions and being sort of battered around a bit by the rain or the wind can actually feel quite sort of freeing, I think, you know, because so many of us sometimes are quite tightly wound, tightly buttoned up. To get muddy and wet and windswept is quite a good feeling.
Yeah, that's right. It can. I used to go hiking a lot in winter for a couple of reasons. One, there weren't many people around, and two, that the light was fantastic for taking photographs, but to be in an environment where you're halfway up a mountain and there's a few feet of snow all around you, it's pretty exciting, you know. It's invigorating stuff, and the temperature is much, much colder than we would be used to in winter as well. So you really do feel that bite of the frost on your face, and it's very refreshing.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Carl. I think you've inspired us all to go outside now. I certainly feel like I should just down tools and leave the house immediately. So thank you for that. Where can people find you if they want to look you up or maybe get in touch about some therapy themselves?
Okay, well, you can search me on the BACP website, or you can go to my own website, which is reachforhelp.co.uk. That now, obviously, I'm based down south in London, the southeast. If you're looking for work for therapy up north, the person I trained with is Jay Clark of therapyupnorth.co.uk, and Jay is based up in Manchester. So that gives you a little bit more scope. Jay's fantastic, and we she's actually my supervisor. So when we do meet up and have supervision, that's usually outdoors as well, which is a brilliant experience.
Great. Thank you, Carl. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Gemma.
So thank you for listening. Please remember to rate, review and subscribe if you like the podcast. And remember, if you need emotional support, you can contact LawCare on 0800 279 6888, email support@lawcare.org.uk, or visit our website, www.lawcare.org.uk. Thank you.